This is our Sense of Place, North Carolina, in Chapel Hill. Mac McCann wears many hats and still doesn't seem particularly stressed. In 1989, with his bandmate and then partner Laura Balance, he formed Merge Records to release the music of his band Superchunk, and later his other band, Porta Static, along with a number of others from the area. We'll talk with Mac and Laura in a bit about the remarkable history of their label, but first we have music from Mac's first solo album called Non-Believers. We'll talk in a moment after this performance of the song Only Do. That is Only Do, one of the standout tracks on, believe it or not, Mac McCann's first solo album. You know him from Superchunk and Porta Static and Merge Records. And And what it's interesting to hear this song done now, because you recorded this record all by yourself.
That's right.
And it sounded a little different on the record.
It's pretty different sounding.
You played with a lot of synths on the record.
There's a lot of synths. Today we have Laura King on drums as opposed to myself on drums, which is a vast improvement. That's another big difference.
Totally kicking. Yeah.
So the record, the overall flavor of the record is a lot of synthesizers and a lot of 80s kind of studio sounds. And live we've been playing with this band, like total rock band versions of those songs. So it's fun to do.
So we sort of get to this record because Superchunk started revving it up a little bit after not really, you know, doing so much for a while. And I don't know if it was exactly how it happened, but Portastatic kind of wound down a little bit.
Yeah, so around the time, like you said, that Superchunk became active, more active, around 2009, 2010, I sort of wrapped up Portastatic with a compilation of a bunch of B-sides and things called Some Small History, and then was doing Superchunk for a few years. And after I Hate Music touring finished, I just started writing songs and working on stuff that ended up on this record. But at the time, it wasn't really a plan to be an album. But as I started writing more and more songs and it came together, it also became clear that everyone in Superchunk was not ready to make another record. So I just decided to make a solo record, and rather than delve back into Portastatic world, I mean, I did think about that, but I just decided to put it out under my own name and see what happened.
Well, and we talked about the different sound, and one of the things that the sound does is kind of transports you back to another time, which would be the sometime in the 80s, I think. And that was quite purposeful, that kind of sound from that era?
It was. I mean, I was... The sound became kind of wrapped up with the subject matter of the record, which is about a kind of transitional time in music and for me personally, because I was 13, 14 years old, you know. And
so kind of punk into new wave, you know.
Yeah. And also just, you know, no. And part of the idea of the record is thinking about a group of people that when you're that age, junior high and high school, all end up kind of hanging out together, whether you're a goth or a punk or whatever, because you're kind of like the weirdos in school or whatever. You end up in the same smoking court or whatever you'd call it at the time.
Right.
Or in the, you know, you end up seeing the same people out in the woods on Friday night, you know, and around a bonfire or whatever. So it was kind of about that.
Is that nostalgic in a pleasant way for you, or I kind of want to get to what it means to you now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me now, what I was thinking about was, why is music from that time, even music that I didn't especially like at the time, why does it generate an emotional response, and why is some of it still the records that I listen to? And so that's kind of what drove me to, you know, not necessarily replicate those sounds, but kind of reference those sounds.
Yeah, and the lyric in that one, "There's no try, only do," is very much what somebody of that age might say too.
Right.
So anyway, a great song. I really like that one. I must say these are definitely sound like your songs. They've got a lot of the things that we all love about your work over the years, and it's kind of cool to hear a different kind of form of them. But it's also great to hear them rocked up today. This is great. Two guitars, bass, and drums. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, it's really fun to play with this band, Montgomery Morris on bass and Jeff Schilling on guitar and Laura King on drums. And we've been calling ourselves Non-Believers. And sometimes it's fun to try to replicate a record live. With this record, that wasn't really realistic. And I don't relish the idea of standing on stage trying to play a synthesizer and sing. For me, I don't think it would, I think it would look not very cool.
And also, it'd be hard for you to get the energy you always get without.
Well, right, that's what, it's like a weird idea to be on stage yet kind of anchored to one place.
Totally, and only moving one part of your body, which would be your hands.
And I've always liked bands that also did different versions of their songs, and in a way that allowed you to hear them in different ways. You know,
absolutely. Mac McCann is our guest with the Non-Believers, playing music from Non-Believers, and another one from the album.
Yes. Speaking of going out in the woods on Friday night, this is a song about making sure you have batteries for your boombox. and it's called Box Batteries.
Great session today on our Sense of Place, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Mac McConn, and this great band, The Non-Believers. Mac, I wanted to explore a little bit more about when you talked about the transitions of a lot of these songs, going back to a previous transition in your life. And we've been talking today as we've been driving around the city and stuff about your kids and about your life. And do you feel like you have already gone through a transition or going through one? Is that any way related to this?
One thing that having kids is like a constant lesson that I'm learning over and over again is that things are always changing with them and with our relationship. But I think that more what made me, again, kind of brought me into the themes of this album is the fact that, you know, our kids are 8 and 12 years old. So they're almost getting to that point and you know, they have their favorite songs that they like and their favorite bands. And so it's interesting to know that, you know, they're going to be in that same kind of adolescent era shortly. Made me kind of go back and forth between now and then.
So the other thing, this is sort of a compliment to all the music you make. I mean, that last song could put me there. I mean, I'm a little older than you are, but I could totally understand being in the woods, being, you know, all that. And you managed to do that without crossing a line into being sentimental about it.
I mean, I think that's what's tough about nostalgia is that it's very appealing on some level, but at the same time, I really try to resist it as just a pure vehicle.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that was always on my mind making this record and the last couple of Superchunk records as well, which are, again, deal with themes of like music and what you become attached to when you're younger and what you still and then how you think about it later and that kind of thing.
Totally, totally. More from Non-Believers, or what's next?
We're going to do a song that was on a Portastatic record called Summer of the Shark, which never came out on vinyl the first time, but we put it out on vinyl last year. This song is called Drill Me.
That's great. That is Drill Me from Summer of the Shark, Portastatic album, on vinyl now on your local record label. Okay, Portastatic, Superchunk, a solo album. You're a band guy. Did it feel weird to finally do a solo album?
It feels weird having my name on a t-shirt. That's the weirdest thing about it.
Right.
The idea of coming up with a whole other band name and introducing a new concept sounded kind of exhausting. My name is not easy to spell or pronounce the first time you read it, but it's my name, so gotta live with it.
Absolutely. So there's no, this is my statement, as opposed to the other records were not my statement. There's none of that in there.
No, I think that that's one thing that, growing up in punk rock, like the idea of putting your name on a record was always kind of an anathema. And one reason is that, this idea that like, this is my statement. And it always implied also like a singer-songwriter-y kind of vibe and all these other things. But like I said, when I weighed all the options, I was left with that.
Yeah, even nowadays, people who are singer-songwriters use band names. So
That's right.
Yeah, it's sort of a holdover from that. All right, another one from this solo album by the unnamed artist. What's next?
We're going to do the last song on the record, which is kind of a song on the album that's set in the present day as opposed to, you know, 1982 or whatever. This song is called Come Upstairs.
Take
Great session today on our Sense of Place, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Mac McCann, and this great band, The Nonbelievers, that's Come Upstairs from the album called Nonbelievers. And thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll be back in a moment as our Sense of Place continues here on the World Cafe.